Our focus scripture this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter, the verses 25 through 37, and this is where an expert in the law asks Jesus questions. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for the extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." The word of God for the people of God.
It was a nice sunny day, and Dad and son decided they'd go fishing. So they went out to the pond, and big pond, and put the boat in. Both got in it, sat there and fished. 1 hour passed. 2 hours passed. They are having some luck, but like they say, a day in the boat is better than any other day. Well, the son started thinking about the world around him as he's looking around. And he began to get curious. So he asked his dad, he said, "Dad, how does this boat float?" Dad thought for a moment. Then he replied, "Don't rightly know, son." The boy returned to his contemplation as he's fishing. But soon he came up with another one. "Dad, how do fish breathe underwater?" Dad thought for a moment and said, "Don't rightly know, son." A little later, the boy asked, "Dad, why is the sky blue?" Dad looked up and said, "Don't rightly know, son." Well, the boy started worrying that maybe he's annoying his dad with all these questions. So he said, "Dad, do you mind my asking all these questions?" And his father immediately assured him, "Of course not, son. If you don't ask questions, you'll never learn anything." Isn't this so true? Evidently, Dad didn't ask a whole lot of questions growing up, did he? If you do not ask questions, you will never learn anything. I invite you to open a Bible to the very familiar scripture lesson we have today from the Gospel of Luke. We often call it the parable of the Good Samaritan. But I want to look at today at something a little different just than the parable. It's what leads up to the parable, even what's after the parable. It's, well, the questions. The questions being asked of Jesus by an expert in the law. Let's check out his questions beginning in verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, in Jesus' time, an expert in the law would be what we call a lawyer. But also, in being a lawyer, you're also a biblical scholar, because religious law and civil law were one and the same. So when I say lawyer, don't think about lawyers today. You know, we have the civil law and we have religious. No, they're one and the same in Jesus' day. So the religious law, what we know as the Old Testament, is how you live your life. So this man, this, what we have here, person who we call a lawyer or an expert in the law, he'd be thoroughly studied in law and the Old Testament. So he asked the question we have here at the end of verse 25. "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Notice then how in the next verse, Jesus answers his question with two questions. "What is written in the law?" Jesus replied. "How do you read it?" Now the law means the Torah. So Jesus is saying, what is written in the Torah? The Torah is the first five books of the Old Testament: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's what you live life by. That's what he's an expert in. So the lawyer responded with Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. As he says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind." And then he also adds in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. "Love your neighbor as yourself." Then, after he has answered Jesus' questions with his answer, Jesus answers the lawyer's answer with his answer. "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." Notice something here. What we call the first section of this scripture lesson for today. The first section of the parable of the Good Samaritan, if you want to put it that way. We find the lawyer asking Jesus a question. Jesus then does not answer him, but asks him not one question, but even two questions. The lawyer responds with an answer. Then Jesus has the answer. Question, question, answer, answer. Jesus does not answer the lawyer. Instead, he asks the lawyer questions, and then the lawyer ends up answering his own question. Now, we move to the second section of this, what we would call the parable. We have the same formula, but Jesus throws in the parable of the Good Samaritan to lead up to the answer, to help him come to his answer. Because the lawyer then asks a question, but wanting to justify himself, so he asks Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" There's that second question. How do you think Jesus is going to answer him? With an answer or with a question? Well, let's see. Jesus responds with the parable of the Good Samaritan, goes on and talks about the religious leaders who passed by and the Samaritan who was hated helping the man. But then Jesus comes to the question. So the parable of the Good Samaritan is all a part of the question Jesus then responds to his question by. When he asks, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hand of robbers?" Then the lawyer does what? He answers his own question, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus responds, "Go and do likewise." You notice the system that's being used here? What's going on? The questions the lawyer's asking, they're important. The answers are important. And Jesus isn't putting him off by asking him questions back, such as can happen in real life when someone asks you a question and you're just trying to put them off by asking them a question. What's happening here is Jesus is trying to help the man find the real answer. For who does the expert in the law focus on with his questions? Let's hear his questions once again. What must I do to inherit eternal life? who is my neighbor? What is the focus on for this expert in the law? I and my. The focus is on himself. Then Jesus asks a question to help him turn from himself, but to God. Love the Lord your God. And the other answer? Neighbor as yourself. The one who had mercy. In other words, through the questioning of Jesus, he finds out the answer for himself. He knew the answer. But God, through Jesus, is helping him arrive at that. Arrive at that answer. Questions are very important. We need to ask questions. And in doing so, through the questions, we may not get them answered for us, but others answer them for us. True story. True story about a very successful grocery store in Connecticut. Grocery store is called Stu Leonard's. Stu Leonard's grossed over $500 million last year at only 7 locations. The average grocery store makes $300 per square foot. Stu's preparation generates an amazing $3,000 per square foot. The average grocery store stocks 30,000 items. Stu Leonard's stocks 2,200, only 7% of the merchandise that a normal grocery store does. One day, Stu was walking around the ship door. He asked a lady, "What do you think of our fresh fish?" She says, "I don't think the fish is fresh." Stu tells her how the fish is brought in from the Boston Pier every morning, and it's the freshest fish that money can buy. Again, she comments, "I don't think it is fresh." Now, of course, Stu is getting frustrated. He calls over Nick, the head of the seafood department, to hear the customer's input. Stu asks Nick if the fish is fresh, and Nick goes through a major speech about bringing in the fish from the Boston Pier each morning. Then they both look at the lady and ask her, "What do you think now of our fresh fish?" And she says, "I still don't think the fish is fresh." Now, of course, depending on the time of day, the day of the week, or the kind of person you are, most of us are either thinking or even saying to a person like this, "Hey, get in the truck. Come on. Stop by tomorrow morning. We'll show you how fresh it is." Just putting her down. But not Stu. No. He then asked her two questions. First, "What do you mean our fish is not fresh?" And she said, "Look at it. It just doesn't look fresh to me. You have that fillet sitting on a green cardboard container. You have plastic wrap over the fillet, and it's wrinkled. Finally, you have a price sticker over half of the fillet." So then he asked her a second question. "What would fresh fish look like to you?" She said, "Well, I go to Boston all the time. I like to see fresh fish on the ice." Stu walked across the aisle and laid the fish flat on the ice. And he did that with the rest of the fish. Fish sales doubled from 15,000 pounds per week to 30,000 pounds a week just by putting it on the ice. And they stayed at that level. Yes, maybe not knowing all the answers, but asking the right questions. That was the answer. So the answer was the question. For who did Stu focus on at first? My fish. Our fish. Lady, you know, you've got to be thinking, you're wrong. And then in listening through questions, he got the right answer. Who'd the expert in the law, who'd the lawyer focus on at first? What do I need to do? Who is my neighbor? Focused on himself. And then, through Jesus' questioning, he gets the answer. Who do you focus on first? I and my? In your prayers, who are they directed toward? Yourself? When do you listen to God? for this question and answer display between the lawyer and Jesus, I think, helps us realize how God answers your questions. It helps us realize how God answers your dilemmas. It helps us realize how God does answer your prayers. But you may sit there going, wait a minute, he didn't answer. The man asked a question and Jesus gave a question. Exactly. You see, God helps us live our life. God does not live our life for us. And in doing so, he responds to your asking of questions with questions of his own. God often responds to your questions with questions to make sure you're focusing on God's will and not just on your will. Making sure that you turn from I and my to you, others, focus on God and neighbor. What question or questions are you dealing with in your life? I believe that whenever you ask God questions, God often responds to those with questions. Questions to you, just as Jesus is doing here. And God does so to see if you want God's answer or are you focusing only on your own. And when Jesus says to pray continually, what that helps us do is move from self-centered to God-centered, from self-centered to neighbor-centered, to other-centered. In other words, we answer our own questions and we finally get there. So if you're sitting there questioning, why is this prayer taking so long to answer these questions I'm asking God? Maybe you're taking a long time to answer God's responsive question to you. When your answers to God's questions fulfill God's will, you then get your questions, you then get your dilemmas, you then get your prayers answered in the best way for you. So guess what? It's okay to question God. But just be ready. Be ready for God to then question you. What question or questions are you dealing with in your life? How is God then questioning you, and what answers are you coming up with that? Let us bow our heads for a time of prayer. God, you do have all the right answers for each one of us, yet you often lead us to those answers by having us focus on questions you present to us. Each of us are dealing with some struggle in our life, and have tried to respond to it following our way. And then we ask, where are you, God? And you respond with, where do you think? God is with us, helping you discern your will. So I invite you to lift up a prayer for yourself and pray to God to help you get answers. Answers to make it through a struggle you are currently facing in your life. And just as Jesus had the teacher in the law change his focus from himself and his wants to focus on others, God wants you to do the same thing. So I invite you to pray for one or two others who are dealing with something physical or emotional, maybe mental health or spiritual care, and they need God's will done in their life. Lift them up through a silent prayer. And Lord, through all these prayers, all these people we prayed for and ourselves, when we pray for your will to be done, that's the answer. For your will to be done, helping those who are mourning the death of a loved one. That we take how they have touched us and shown us a bit of you and touched the lives of others. That your will be done with the mass shootings and the gun violence that's going on. We pray for your will to be done, for your will is the right way. We may have lots of questions, but then those questions just keep coming back till we realize, and it takes time. We pray for situations that are going on in our country, for your will to be done, just as we pray for in this world, such as the Ukraine situation and the senseless evil in the world. You know, what Jesus does help us do is help us look at what's really important. And that's not just us. It's others as well. God knows you're able to strive forward in life, even in the midst of questions. And it is then that you realize how blessed you truly are. So I invite you to pray a prayer of thanks. Thanks for a time when God has led you to answers in your life. When you have a question of God, he then responds many times with questions, either through the inner workings of the Spirit, through others, maybe you know or that you trust, friends, relatives, or even strangers, who then come back with questions to you. You know, Jesus does not respond to the lawyer's questions with questions to be frustrating. He does it because Jesus knows that lawyer knows the correct answers, just as you know the correct answers in life. And when God does not seem to answer your questions, but gives you more questions, God's not trying to frustrate you, but remind you that when you have Jesus as a part of your life, you will find the right answer to all your questions. So I invite you to ask through a silent prayer for Jesus to have full participation in your life. All these prayers we lift up in the name of our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray and saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.